Our Lenten journey is almost over. So is Jesus' journey from Galilee to Jerusalem. This year, our journey of 40 days began on February the 22nd with Ash Wednesday, and it will end with our observance of Maundy Thursday, this coming Thursday on April the 6th. For Jesus, the journey began after 40 days of temptation in the wilderness. And after preaching and teaching and healing for 3 years, he approaches Jerusalem. Now, he has announced 3 times that he will go to Jerusalem, the center of the provincial Judean power. And there he will face the Roman-sanctioned and allied provincial leadership led by the Roman governor. The transformational events pits a humble king against the power of Rome and their allies in the temple. Now you may ask, why do I call him a humble king? You have a right to ask that question, especially because of the way that the story begins. Jesus comes to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, and he sends 2 disciples from there and tells them to bring him a donkey, which they will find tied there. Her colt will be there with her. Jesus says that if the owner says anything, they are to tell him that the Lord needs them. Now, Matthew often quotes from the Old Testament because he is writing to a predominantly Jewish audience. And that's why he included the prediction made in Isaiah chapter 62. Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, this action displays Jesus' kingly authority. He orders 2 subordinates to procure the donkey and the colt. He foresees a possible objection. The owner may say, what are you doing, taking my animals? He exercises authority over both people and animals. And his disciples obey him. The situation unfolds exactly as he anticipated it. Now, this action, sending his disciples to procure an animal for him to ride, enacts an imperial practice of the Romans. The Roman officials, like governors and military figures, requisitioned labor and transport, lodging from subject people. And those people deeply resented the seizing of their property and their labor and the arrogance of the power that it expressed. And yet, this humble king does exactly the same thing. Now, the animal's owner is invisible, and Jesus doesn't return the donkey to the owner. And twice in the gospel, we hear of this practice of oppression in the carrying of a soldier's pack and the carrying of a cross of a convicted criminal. So how humble is that? He exercises kingly authority in procuring property. Now be patient with me, I'll get there. But there's more. Now we read that he imitates the entry of the ruling elite figures, emperors and governors and kings, military generals, ceremoniously entering a city. Now, this ritual includes crowds who welcome and acclaim the figure's greatness. A religious ceremony and a speech. Of course, there's always got to be a speech of welcome. It's the kind of entry ritual usually reserved for the elite ruling figures. And the ritual kind of displays central Roman values, imperial greatness, supremacy over enemies, military domination and conquest, power over as the basis of interactions, courage in battle or violence, submission. Now, the reason that these kind of rituals took place was to intimidate the subordinates and show the power of the Roman gods . And Jesus' entry seems to imitate this very practice. The crowd hails him as a king. They spread cloaks on the ground and they wave branches. And they chant Psalm 118. Hosanna to the King of the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. And the whole city is all stirred up. They ask, who is this? And the crowds reply, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. It seems like this Jesus is just like the Roman rulers. But there are some things that are different. And his actions from this entry onward are not those of the powerful elite. So what's different? And do the differences make him humble? Well, I'll let you be the judge. First of all, instead of riding a big war horse, he rides a donkey, an everyday beast of burden. And it's crowds of common folks that welcome him. There are no speeches from elite leaders. For you see, he's not an elite figure. He wasn't authorized by the dominant ruling power. He represents God's purposes, not Rome's. Jesus anticipates future greatness in signifying God's reign, his coming rule that will end Rome's empire. And then Jesus goes to the temple. Now, since the Gospel of Matthew was written around 70 A.D., the scene explains the Roman destruction of Jerusalem and the temple as divine punishment. And he attacks the Rome-sanctioned temple leaders. The first thing he does is he drives out those who are buying and selling in the temple. You see, people bought sacrifices while the temple treasury reaped in a massive sum of money as they sold the various supplies that those offering the sacrifices would need. And they also collected a temple tax and sort of functioned as a bank. And this is the Lord's house, a house of prayer. And so as often seems to be the case, under Roman supervision, those allied with Rome profited from this activity. And then after he runs off the people that were buying and selling, he overturns the tables of the money changers and the sellers of those doves and pigeons. Now that act is symbolic. It highlights and protests the temple economy as sustaining that leadership without recognizing the true leadership. Then thirdly, Jesus' third act interprets those prior actions. The first evokes Isaiah 56 vision of an inclusive society which includes everyone, even the eunuch and foreigners. The temple has failed to function as a house of prayer for all people. And then Jesus accuses the temple leaders of making the temple a den of robbers. Now the Greek term designates bandits or terrorists who destabilized the imperial society by attacking the wealthy. Jesus says that the temple leadership are the terrorists, the robbers. And way back when the temple was first destroyed by Babylon, the Babylonians, the temple was said to be destroyed because the leadership's unjust actions. And the scene closes with Jesus' fourth temple action. He heals the blind and the lame, an act of repairing damage caused by imperial practices. The children are delighted. The temple leaders are not. So from where I'm standing, Jesus is a humble king. His entry into Jerusalem was a direct challenge to the ways of the elite. Now, he imitated the practices of the Roman leaders, but he was cheered by common people, not by the rulers. For Jesus was king of all people, not just the elite. He healed the blind and the lame. Children loved him. They still do today. And I believe that he heals the blind and the lame, even now. Many are blind to the love that he offers. They seem to live lives that are focused on other things, money and position, the accumulation of stuff. Jesus calls us to love others as ourselves, and to love and to obey God. That is healing. And it's ironic, it often seems like it takes some kind of lameness, some sort of physical or emotional or mental or spiritual infirmity for people to be aware of the humble king. Now be ready for resistance to this humble king. Our old natures, Satan, and the ways of the world all try to blind and hobble us. So let us look to the example of Jesus as the obedient Son of God. Let us pray. Righteous God, you brought your Son Jesus into Jerusalem to show the people the radical grace of your love. Show us that grace and give us eyes to see your goodness. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.